Hello everyone, my name is Noemi Ross and I'm here to share my testimony with you and hope that the Lord will touch your heart and let you know that He will never leave you nor forsake you. Let's just begin with a prayer. Father, I just come to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and I pray, my Lord God, that you would just minister to your people, Father, to the people. Father, as I say my testimony, I pray that you would take full control of every word, Lord God, and that you would just let the people know that you're alive today, yesterday, and forevermore. We bless you, Lord, and we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, my name is Noemi Ross, and I am a PK kid. I was born and raised in a Pentecostal family. My father and my mom migrated from PR, Puerto Rico, here to the United States, had 9 children, established a church here, Assemblies of God, Spanish Assemblies of God Church. It was very religious, but kept our family knitted together. My family, my father, got ill, died at an early age, 59, leaving my mother with 9 children, 5 girls, 4 boys. It was very difficult for us after that, and as days went by, things just began to get tougher at home. My sisters, older sisters, immediately got married and went off to live their lives, so mom stayed with the rest of us, and it was very difficult because she did not speak English. As the youngest, one of the youngest siblings from the girls, I had a brother that was younger than me 1 year. I felt like I was the one who was the little social worker in my house, always going with mom to the appointments and translating for her. And the system was very difficult on us, to the point where we lost pretty much everything. We were homeless for some time. We finally got an apartment, and in order to get money for school, my mom would use the electricity money, and she would use that money to buy us clothes to be able to start the school year. So we would use the electricity from the hallway, and it was just a really difficult time for us. But she kept pushing forward. Little by little, my siblings just started doing the wrong thing and hanging out, causing the public assistant to shut our case over and over again. It was difficult, but we always prayed and God came through over and over again. But then there was a time when mom lost it completely, and I went to live with a friend, a neighbor. I spent a lot of time with her daughter, and so I saw less and less of my mom, and it was difficult because that neighbor introduced me to a man who was 30 years my senior, and I ended up getting bumped and living in a relationship that was very detrimental to me. It was a lot of mental abuse, and I had two kids, and so victim services. The school noticed that my children were expressing some behaviors that were not normal, so they asked me what was going on in the home. I immediately broke down crying. I just knew that I wanted someone to ask me because I wanted out. Immediately after that, I mentioned to them about the abuse that was going on in the house, the mental abuse, and the starting of a physical abuse. And they say if I didn't get out the house, that they would take my children away. I confided in my neighbor. My neighbor's mom had just passed away, left her house in Puerto Rico. I didn't want to go in the system with the shelters and all that, so my neighbor said, take my keys, my house keys, and go to Puerto Rico and start fresh. So I saved up $2,000. I took my food cart and said I was going shopping. My sister ended up taking me to the airport. I moved to PR for 3 months with my children. I established them in school. Victim services promised me that I would not have him follow me, that they would let me know immediately if he was to enter Puerto Rico. They would let me know. So I was at peace, and I started living with my two children. I was about 21 years old with two kids and PR, living at this house, and barely had money. It was very difficult for the boys. They did not speak Spanish. They spoke a lot of English. And so anyway, from there, I had signed up for Section 8 before I left for an apartment. I get a call from my sister saying that my mom was ill. She had a heart attack, and that she was concerned for me and the kids to please come back home. And she said that the Section 8 had called and said that I was approved for an apartment. So God opened the door, and I went back to New York, and I got the apartment. They furnished it for me and the boys. And as I just continued going to school, I went back. I decided I needed to go back to school, and so I went to get my GD and at this adult learning center. And my kids were at school. I received a letter in the mail to go to court that my husband wanted to take my children from me. A lot of bad things. The letter said that I was an unfit mom and that I had abducted my children. And so we had to go to court, and I prayed for the Lord's favor. The Lord gave us favor, my mom and I, and the judge said that he would do what I wanted done, not what he wanted done, because he realized that he was a man 30 years my senior, and what he was trying to do was to really destroy my life. He had all the records that I've been going through victim services and everything, so God gave me favor. From then on, I was raising my kids and going to school, and I met a Muslim man. He owned a video store in the neighborhood. And we fell in love, and we just went in. 3 months later, had a wedding, got married. And 12 years in the marriage, we would always go visit his mom in Queens. And every time we would go visit his mom, there was this highway, this cross at this church over the Bruckner Boulevard called Crossway. And it was like a white cross, and it was very visible. And every time we went to visit his mom, I would see this white cross, and I would say, wow, I feel like that cross is like calling me. And because I said that every time, he would always say, you always saying that. But there was a time in 12 years into the marriage that I started noticing that he was leaning towards becoming a Muslim and asked me to go with his mom to the mosque because his sisters had to go and that I had to go and that I had to give my heart to Allah. And it was strange to me because we weren't practicing religion. We weren't going to church or anything. We were just working, you know, coming home, going to baseball games, you know, and going to the movies, and just we weren't going to church. And so I said, I don't know if I could do that because I am, I'm a Christian. I was raised in the Pentecostal religion, and so he said, you have to do what I say. And he was very adamant and a little upset to the point where it kind of like scared me, and since I came from that background where I was abused, immediately I felt it was starting all over again. And so I said, okay, I'll go. And so it was a Saturday morning, and I was getting ready to go to the mosque, and I hear a voice, and it was God's voice, and he said, don't go. And I said, don't go. Go to the church with the white cross. And then when he said, go to the church with the white cross, the word cross came right out from in between my chest and my stomach. And I said, God, you're speaking to me. And he said, yes, go to the church with the white cross. Now. And I said, now? It's Saturday. What church is open on Saturday? Now. So I immediately called my sister and I said, Rosie, something weird is happening to me. You know, I'm getting ready to go to the mosque to see how that is because my husband wants me to go, and he's very adamant about it. She goes, you're crazy. You're not going to do that. I said, well, I'm not now because God spoke to me. He told me not to go. He told me to go to the church with the white cross. Do you know that church that's right over the Bruckner Boulevard? And she said, yes, I know exactly that church. As a matter of fact, last week was Easter Sunday, and my daughter and I were looking for a church to go to, and we happened to be on the highway, and we saw that white cross, and we went in. And lo and behold, it was beautiful. God touched us, and I wanted to talk to you about it. And then I said, yeah, really? Oh my God, well, God's calling me to go there like now. She goes, wait a minute, they gave me some papers, let me see what's happening there. So she goes and she looks through the paper, and she noticed that it says Women's Ministry Day Saturday. So she goes, oh my God, yeah, it's Women's Ministry Day today. Do you want to go? I said, yes, I have to go. God told me to go there. So she said, I'll pick you up. So she came and she picked me up, and immediately we entered that church. The power of God just came over me. And I tell the girl at the door, God's here. She goes, yes, he is. I said, no, you don't understand. God's here. She says, yes, he is. That's why I come here. I said, wow, look how beautiful. So many women. Wow, so many women just adoring God. And all the women had their hands up, and the worship was powerful, and they were all in tune with the Lord. And mind you, I had not stepped into a church for a long time here because my father had passed, my mom went, we all went astray, and I had backslidden. And so what I remember of church was that you don't wear, you know, pants, you don't cut your hair, you don't wear makeup. And so she said, you really like it here? the lady at the door. And I say, yes. She goes, well, if you like it here so much, when they give an altar call, you know, you go to the front, you give your heart to Jesus, and then you can come here as many times as you like. So I said, yeah. And all of a sudden, I'm feeling like something is like pushing me from behind to walk towards the front. And so I'm walking towards the front, and I immediately just start sobbing and crying and crying and crying and crying and hysterically. And then my sister and I, we're like walking down this aisle, and all of a sudden, you know, God says, don't look to the right or to the left, right? Lest you fall from God's grace or something like that. And I looked to my left and I saw the lady and she had pants on. And I went, and then I looked to my right and I see another lady with her hair cut. And I went, and then I tug on my sister and I said, what kind of church is this? That lady got pants on and that one has, you know, her hair cut. And look at that one with lipstick. She went, shh, Naomi, let God work. This is not a church that lets God work with you on the outside. This is a church that allows God to work with you from the inside out. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, I just said, yeah. And I just started praising God and saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And just crying and crying and crying and crying. Got to the front. I gave my heart to Jesus. Hallelujah. And then when I got home, my husband said, oh, where you been? I said, oh, I went to church. He went, oh, you went to the mosque with my mother? I said, no, I did not go to the mosque with your mother. Remember that church that I always tell you that has a white cross, and I always tell you that like that cross is calling me? And he says, yeah. I said, well, I went there. He says, don't tell me. I said, what? He says, don't tell me you gave your heart to Jesus Christ. I said, no, first of all, prior to that, he said, where were you? And then I said, I went to church. And he goes, yeah, because I see like an aura all around you. What is that? And I said, because remember that church with the cross? Well, I was putting on my makeup, and the Lord called me to go there. And he told me to go there now. So I called my sister. She picked me up, and we went. And he says, don't tell me. I said, well, he says, don't tell me you gave your heart to Jesus. And he slammed his hand on the table. And I said, yes, I did. I gave my heart to Jesus. But he says, you wasn't supposed to cross over to the other side. I said, I didn't cross over to the other side. I've always been on this side. My father's a Pentecostal pastor, and we were raised knowing about Jesus Christ. He goes, yeah, but you're my wife now, and you weren't supposed to do that. Now you created trouble between us. And he was hollering and hollering, and I said, okay, stop, stop, stop. Do you want me not to go? Then I won't go. He goes, no, I can't do that, because if I don't let you go, I'll get cursed. You do what you do, and I don't know what's going to happen between us. That's all I'm saying. So I'm like, so I can go to church? He says, yeah, you can go. And so I started going to church, and the more I went, the more I noticed that he was being nicer to me. And I was praising and thanking the Lord for it, and I was so elated in the spirit. I mean, I was with my Bible up and down. I was even cooking with my Bible to the point where he says, you know, you remind me of Miss Billy Graham, because wherever you go, you take that Bible. I'm like, yeah, because Jesus is so wonderful, you know. And he says, you know, I think this church thing is good for you, because you've been so much nicer. And I said, yeah, and God wants you to come too, and to come to church with me. And he says, I don't know about that. So I said, well, I started reading scriptures, and it says, if a non-believer lives with a believer and the non-believer wishes to stay, that I'm supposed to be that wife, the virtuous wife. So I just kept going to church. And so one day he comes home and he says, you know, my mom says I'm doing it wrong by letting you go to church. She says that she's going to disown me if I don't stop you now, and that you need to stop going to church and going to give your heart to Allah. And but it has to come from you. And I told him that the Bible says to leave your mother and your father and to cling to your wife. And he said no, that he's the man of the house and it's what he says, not what I said. And he just said, you know, I decided I'm leaving and I'm taking all the furniture, I'm closing all the accounts, I'm leaving you penniless and without a penny, because you chose this lifestyle. And so you need to just, you're gonna just have to live the consequences. And at that time I was doing a crusade with R.W. Schomback. He was in town, my pastor from Crossway. His wife was Schomback's niece, and so he had us working the crusade. And so I said, what time is it? And he said, it's 8 o'clock. I said, oh my God, I'm supposed to be at the crusade at 7. And he goes, you mean to tell me, I'm telling you that I'm leaving and I'm taking, closing all the accounts and I'm leaving you penniless. And all you could tell me is that you are going to church and not paying attention to what I'm saying. I said, I am paying attention. But God, I have a responsibility to the church. And the things you're saying, we need to put in God's hands. And you cannot say those things because it's hurtful to me. And I was crying and I was hysterical. And I said, I can't be here hearing this. I need to go to the church. And you need to come with me. And he says, no, I'm leaving tomorrow morning. So you do whatever you want. So I rushed out the door and I was crying hysterically and I was saying, God, you know, I gave my heart to you and now my marriage is in shambles and things are going crazy and he's leaving tomorrow morning and I don't even have money for the kids and I to live, and how is this going to happen? And all of a sudden I remembered that I had gotten pay. Actually, I was working as well. So I had gotten paid and I was supposed to deposit $350 into the bank that afternoon, and I didn't. And I felt the $300 in my pocket. So I said, what is this? And when I pulled it out, it was the $350. And I said, oh, Father God, you're already coming through for me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I was walking towards the crusade, and all of a sudden when I get to the crusade, and it was like I just had stepped my foot in the crusade when I heard Schomback's voice. He says, there's someone here whose husband has said that they're gonna leave them and they're gonna take every piece of furniture and every and close out all the accounts. And the Lord says to this person that if she gives a sacrificial offering of $350, that he's going to multiply it 100-fold. So I said, oh my God, you're talking to me. Lord, this man was not in my house right now. He didn't know what was going on right now, these same words my husband had said to me. And I said, Lord, you're talking to me. And he goes, are you gonna be obedient to the word of the Lord? And I just ran up to the front and I took those $350 and I just threw them in the basket. And the enemy, I tell you, was having a field day with me because he was like, oh, you don't even have milk for your kids. And I kept hearing that and I was like, shut up. and God's bigger, and God, I trust you, Lord, I trust you, Lord. And all of a sudden, he says, this same person the Lord wants to baptize, you're going through spiritual warfare, but come up here again, because you're going to, God's going to baptize with you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And so he says, receive the Holy Ghost. And he laid his hand on my stomach, and I just started talking in tongues, and I couldn't stop for 3 days. I couldn't stop. And I was like, and I got home, and he says, what's wrong with you? Do you know it's 11 o'clock at night? I said, and he says, what's wrong with you? I said, God bless me with the tongues. It's speaking in tongues, and it's a prayer language. And it's a good thing. And I can't talk to you now. I need to go to sleep, and I'll talk to you in the morning, okay? And then all of a sudden, I remember going to the shower, and I was like, and I was just overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And then I said, Lord, this is too much. Help me, Lord. And I remember I'm going to sleep, and he says, you mean to tell me you're going to go to sleep? I said, yeah, I have to go to sleep. I have to. And so I remember going to sleep, and I remember it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I felt like something in my face. And I woke, and I opened my eyes, and my husband's face was right there looking at me, and I got startled, and I said, what are you doing? Why are you so close to my face like that? He said, oh my God. I said, why? What's going on? He says, please say you forgive me. I said, okay, I forgive you, but why? No. You gotta mean it from your heart. Please say you forgive me. I said, for what? He goes, for all those terrible things I told you. And then I said, okay, I forgive you. And I told you the terrible things I told you about closing out of the account, leaving you without money. Okay, I forgive you about the saying that I'm going to leave you without no furniture or anything. I said, okay, I forgive you. He goes, do you really mean it with your heart? I say, yes, I really mean it with my heart. And I said, what happened? He said, God is with you. I said, I told you. I've been trying to tell you that all along. And he said, no, God's really with you. He said, I said, how do you know? And he said, because as you were talking in tongues, you were talking in my language, and you had a conversation with me. I said, I did? He said, yeah. And I knew it was God talking to me, because you don't know my language. And I said, yeah, that's right. And he says, so I need to make a decision, and I'm going to leave to go to the mountains to I have to make a decision. And I say, yeah, it has to come from you. It can't come from me. So he says, I'm leaving for 2 weeks. I said, okay, I'll let you leave for 2 weeks, and I will pray for you. He said he's going to his country. And so he was from Kandahar over there in Afghanistan. And all of a sudden, he went to his mother's house 2 days later. And she told him, absolutely not, that all I wanted you was to get rid of him. And that he's to stop me now, and he's to leave the house now, or she was going to disown him. So I said to him, he said, I have to go, and I can't have my mother disown me. And then he says, but before I leave, I have to, I can't take anything from this house. I said, so you're going to leave everything? He says, yeah, I have to leave everything, and I can't touch anything unless you tell me that I could take it. Whatever I could take, and all I asked you is to give me my car. I said, really? He says, yeah. And I'm supposed to give you money, and you're supposed to tell me how much. I said, really? And all of a sudden, out of my gut, I said, $35,000. And he said, that's it? It was like, I said, I don't know. That's all that came out of me. I don't know. And he said, well, you know what? I'm going to do better. I'm going to give you that plus $700 a month until this thing is straightened out. And he left. The day he left, he put $35,000 in my hand, which is the 100-folds that God had promised me when I deposited those $350 that day. And I didn't even know that was happening that way, because I was just, it just came out of me. And but God was faithful to his word, and it was beautiful how he worked that out. Yes, he did leave, and he decided he wanted to remain with his mom, and that he could not leave her because he brought her here from his country. And it was she immediately got him a wife from their culture and married him while he was being married to me. But then I asked my pastor what's gonna happen with me, and she said the day he did that was the day that our relationship was broken, so that spiritually, so it was already, God already had taken care of it. Well, there was a part in the testimony where I was questioning God about when he said he was leaving and leaving me the money. I was saying, Lord, but why didn't you save him, you know? And you turn people's lives around. Why couldn't you turn his life around? And he told me, Ezra. And I started reading the book of Ezra, and Ezra talks about people that married out of unequally yoked relationships, and what were the ramifications of that. And so then I realized that I was living in an unequally yoked relationship with someone who was set in their relationship, in their church roots and ways. And so the decision, God doesn't force anyone to come to him. He wants them to open up their hearts to him. And today he wants you to open up your heart to him, because it's the only way that the transformation is going to happen in your life for the better. Today I stayed alone for 17 years. There's so many more testimonies that I can tell you that he's done in my life. But after 17 years, he brought a remarkable man into my life. His name is Eric Ross, and he's a great man of God. He loves the Lord. His family loves the Lord. And we minister together, and it's just the most beautiful thing that can happen. And so God did it for me. He can do it for you. Seek him while he may be found. And today is the day. Today is the day. Today is the day. God bless.